Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode number 134 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh. We are coming up on Halloween 2020 this weekend, and I'm super excited. I'm sure you guys are all excited too to see your little ones and their costumes. I'm excited to see my niece and nephew. And of course, in true 2020 fashion, I have no idea what Halloween is going to look like or what we are doing. I just show up when I'm told and go with the flow. I'm a good auntie. Just show up and follow their lead. The awesome thing to me about Halloween really is that it signals the official beginning of holiday season. And I love the holidays. I love the cold weather. And I'm even more excited than normal about this holiday season because I am publishing a guided recovery journal. Yes, this is something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I finally decided to publish it and release it for holiday season 2020. And on top of that, I'm creating a list of gifts for people in recovery. And these aren't the standard gifts you see on every recovery gift list, like candles and leather-bound journals. These are literally some of my favorite things in my own life and some of my favorite gifts to give. They are uplifting things and sober people things and recovery lifestyle things for boys and girls, for 12-steppers and non-12-steppers. This is going to be a killer list for everyone. And when I release that, I want you guys to share it with all your loved ones so they can buy you awesome gifts for Christmas. I'm so excited about my gift list. There are some amazing items on there that are things that you may not know about and wouldn't think of on your own. And I thought this would be awesome too, because all of us have other friends in recovery, and some of us have sponsors, and we always need good, inspiring, and fun gifts to give those people that we love too. And of course, my guided recovery journal will be on the gift list. You're going to love this journal. It's simple, no pressure, uplifting, and keeps your recovery totally on track. We're also just starting our last small group of my 6-week program for 2020. I didn't do a big launch and open it to the public this time because I just didn't have time to do a big long launch in the midst of finishing another group of the 6-week program and getting the journal done and preparing for holiday season. I just opened up the offer for people in the Sober Society membership and put together a mini group to support people going into the holiday season. And we have several really amazing things coming in 2021 too in all my programs. The membership, the online course, the 6-week, our Facebook, everything is going to see some awesome shifts and fun things, accountability groups and challenges and games. Like, I can't wait. And we're going to kick it all off in January. So I will keep you posted on all of that. So what do you say we jump into today's episode? A toxic relationship with alcohol. I would venture to say most of us have been in a toxic relationship at one point or another in our lives. For many of us, we start these bad habits young and repeat the same mistake 1,000 times over. Many of us are raised with some sort of toxicity, even in our family relationships, and it's all we know. So of course we go out in our adult lives and create those same kind of relationships. And when I say relationship, I don't necessarily mean romantic relationships. We have many relationships with our friends and families and coworkers. And when we're unhealthy on the inside, we will create unhealthy relationships with everyone in our lives. You'll relate to this topic on many levels, but you know the most significant relationship I'm talking about is your relationship with alcohol. As we dig into this, it is kind of surprising how similar the toxic relationship with alcohol is to toxic relationships with people. So let's get into some of the red flags of a toxic relationship. Like when you feel like you're walking on eggshells, when things become kind of unpredictable and it leaves you with a sense of holding your breath or walking on eggshells. One weekend, you and alcohol have a great time together and nothing terrible happens. And a few days later, it has humiliated you once again. Predictably unpredictable. You're chasing the high of drinking and at the same time trying to avoid the lows, right? It creates a real sense of instability and insecurity, you know, again, like you're walking on eggshells. Another one is thinking back to like how it was in the beginning and hoping that that like honeymoon phase will come back. You know, we all know that feeling of being kind of baffled when you think back to how much fun you used to have drinking with your friends. You didn't used to drink too much or black out or act crazy or start terrible fights with your partner. And it's totally normal to daydream about the good old days and wish for those fun times again. But your attachment to the good old days keeps you locked in with that hope that those good times will return. And all the while, you stay stuck because all you really have is hope that maybe the good times will return. But in the meantime, you're just staying stuck. The unfortunate truth with love or alcohol is that a healthy relationship can feel uncomfortable, and unhealthy feels comfortable because it's familiar. The other one I really want to talk about is gaslighting. This is a really popular term right now in the relationship world. You may not know this about me, but relationships are the other thing I study a lot. Relationships and communication, to know how to better understand one another and live happier together. And in relationship world, the last few years, gaslighting has been getting a lot of attention. So let me give you a definition of gaslighting. Gaslighting is a form of psychological manipulation in which a person or group covertly sows seeds of doubt in an individual or group, making them question their own memory, perception, or judgment, often evoking in them cognitive dissonance and other changes, including low self-esteem. Now, I know that sounds really weird and evil, but but it's actually very common. I was a gaslighter in my past. I hope I have healed that part of me, but I really was. So let's look at some examples so it makes more sense. Say a wife goes to her husband and tells him she doesn't feel like he's carrying his weight when it comes to taking care of the kids. She feels like he could do a little more, help out a little more. A healthy partner would respond in a calm and loving way, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry you feel that way. I didn't realize I wasn't doing my part. I will definitely pay attention and do a better job. And please tell me when you need help and need me to step in because I want to do my part and I want to support you. That's a healthy person. A gaslighter will respond differently. A gaslighter will take it personally and take it like a personal attack, not even considering for a moment if there's any truth in it, right? If maybe they do have some responsibility in it, then they'll respond like the wife is ridiculous and what she's saying is completely untrue. That's not happening at all. You're just making things up. You're blowing it out of proportion. They respond like it's not even happening, which then leads the other person to feel like, am I crazy? Am I making this up? Am I blowing it out of proportion or being unreasonable? A gaslighter makes you question yourself and question what you know to be true. They'll look you right in your face and tell you a lie and then deny it even when you have proof. Because denying the lie creates a sense of not knowing when they're telling the truth and when they aren't. It leaves you in a position where you're totally off balance, and that's exactly where they want you to be. Alcohol is gaslighting you. It abuses you and humiliates you. It makes you feel terrible about yourself, makes your anxiety explode. Then in the next breath, it's telling you how it can solve all your problems. You don't drink for a few days or weeks. Then you hear it whispering, telling you it wasn't that bad. You know it was that bad, but it's telling you you're blowing it out of proportion. Things will be different this time. It's keeping you unsteady, not knowing when the next unpredictable thing is going to happen. And it has you and your friends and family walking on eggshells. You're trying to make the right choices. You want to be better. You're praying for the honeymoon phase to come back, but it doesn't. So how do you stop the toxic relationship? The first thing you have to do is get honest. You've heard me talk about this before. Get honest with yourself about yourself. You are the only person that knows your true relationship with alcohol. You can lie to everyone else, but you can't lie to yourself, right? Trying to lie to yourself or convince yourself of something you know isn't true is how you end up in this awful toxic cycle of yo-yo sobriety, because your brain knows the truth, but you spend all this time and energy trying to convince it of something else, which in turn makes you drink more. It's a vicious cycle. Just like people relationships, it's very unhealthy when we are using it to avoid or numb pain. And that is exactly what we do with alcohol. We are using it for the effect. You aren't drinking wine because wine tastes so good. You drink wine because you like how it makes you feel. If you weren't attached to the effect, then you could put it down and walk away from it without a second thought. But we know that's not the case because you're here with me. The effect of the alcohol is what we overdrink for, not the flavor. I found this article on the internet, and I will link it in the show notes if you want to check it out. It's about how to heal from a toxic relationship. And once again, the similarities of toxic relationships with people and alcohol are amazing. And when it said, I'm just going to go through a few of these, but it said, stop all contact, just like we do with alcohol, because we're breaking up, right? You wouldn't break up with your partner of 10 years and then go out of your way to go all the places they hang out or call all their friends and go hang out with them. But we do that with alcohol. You say you're breaking up with it, then you promptly go right back to it to hang out with it, hang out around it and all of its friends. It doesn't really make any sense. Another one in the article is reach out to your support group. Again, exactly what we do with alcohol. Build your tribe. Have people to help you and support you and laugh with you. You're not alone in this journey, and there's no reason to act like you are. Life is better with togetherness. So get a tribe and enjoy them. This is the perfect time to be selfish. A toxic relationship is filled with drama, for sure. We all know the drama and kind of unmanageability, but trauma too, because we do have a lot of regret and guilt and shame, and all of that stuff is traumatic. But when you're grieving your loss, it's important to care for yourself too. Do things that make you happy, relax, be nice to yourself. Alcoholism withdraws every ounce of patience and energy and positivity right out of you. All withdrawals, all the time. Now is the time to make deposits, right? Refuel yourself because alcohol left your tank empty. Focus on your interests. What things do you like to do? Or what are some things you want to explore? What do you like to do for fun? What did you do for fun before drinking was front and center? Yoga, art, swimming, running, painting, photography, astrology, baking, flying drones, traveling, rock climbing, hiking. I mean, really, the options are endless, but doing things that interest you is a great way to refuel your little spirit. And do something specific for your recovery, at least as much as you drank. I drank every day, so I did recovery every day. No BS, no questions asked, I did it every day. Make it your priority. And make sure you are surrounding yourself with positive people. You want people in your life who support you and support who you are growing into, not people that only fit in your old life. I've definitely had to move away from friendships in my sobriety, and some of them were really long friendships. It's not that I don't love those people anymore, it's just that they aren't supportive of my growth. You usually see this with people who aren't doing any of their own growing. You know, I've also made some friends and had to set some boundaries about how much time I spend with them because they have some unhealthy habits and lifestyles, and that's not what I want. I like to be surrounded by people who are also working and trying to figure this thing out, always working on being a better version of themselves and figuring out their next level. I want people I can learn from and who motivate me to be a better human. I want people who fit my future, not my past. Make sure you surround yourself with positive people who help feed your spirit. And always be looking forward. Take a look at what you need to let go of to heal. Maybe you need to let go of some resentment toward your family or let go of the victim mentality, like this is happening to you and you're the victim. You're a survivor, not a victim. Maybe you need to let go of some guilt or heal your codependence, work on your self-esteem. It could be a lot of things, but take some time and think about what you're holding on to that's holding you back. For me, I had to let go of what I thought my life was going to be. I had a specific lifestyle and I thought I was very cool, and I had to let go of that small vision to allow myself to grow into this gigantic vision I have now. I had to let go of that identity and what I thought my life would look like, and I had to embrace the idea that there was something better. I didn't even know what that was, by the way. I just had to have faith that there was something bigger and better. So what do you need to let go of? And lastly, keep in mind that healing doesn't go in a straight line. It's up and down and all over the place. Ask yourself what the lessons are. What can you learn? What can you do better? And what can you work on within yourself to not fall back into the trap of that toxic relationship? Give yourself some grace and space to learn and keep learning and keep trying. Okay? How's that? Alcohol is definitely a toxic relationship, and I don't want any toxic relationships in my life anymore. I want to be happy and healthy and strong. I want to make good choices and take care of myself and not let people or alcohol treat me like crap and manipulate and embarrass me. I hope this episode is helpful. If you want to continue the conversation, you can join us in the Facebook group. I will link that in the show notes, and I will link that article also so you can read all the other things that it said about healing from a toxic relationship. It was actually really good. I hope you are having a fantastic day, and I'll see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. Candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.